didn't make any sense. So I wanted him to, I've wanted him to succeed this whole time.
I don't know about all that. I mean, if he really, like, showed that he has this season, like, he showed he's really, you know, like, he wants this ring more than anything. So this year, I mean, I'm not mad, but, I mean, I kind of just, like, wanted to see the Pacers go. They're a really good team. But, I mean, I kind of see that he really wants it this year, so he deserves to, but I didn't necessarily want him to.
All right, just starting the recording here of part two of the podcast. Of course, me and Julian did the podcast yesterday for all of you who had a listen. We are now on iTunes from WBFH podcast page. I think we're working on our own right now. I think it was just a test. But let's discuss the game a little bit. You know what? I just felt that Miami finally got control, and I knew if Dwayne Wade could finally step up, they're going to have no problem with the Pacers.
Yeah, and that's what happened.
And so, for me, I was working, so I didn't get home till the end of really the first quarter. But when I got home, you know, Indiana was doing very well. They were, I think they were leading the Heat at the end of the first quarter. But LeBron James turned it on. Yeah. And, you know, it's scary how good he actually is. And how he also helps get the best out of his teammates.
Sometimes.
But we can't overlook the performance like Dwayne Wade had. Without Dwayne Wade putting up 21 points, and especially getting the 9 rebounds,
yeah.
I don't think Miami wins.
I think that LeBron mentally motivated his teammates tonight, because I think that's what Jordan did when he won all those championships. He was able to mentally just motivate his team to win, and that's what he needed to do today. LeBron did yesterday, so I mean, that's what he did, and they capitalized on it.
Unlike a certain player who wears number 24 for the Lakers.
And here's the other thing: Miami outscores Indiana 33 to 16 in the second quarter, which really helps elevate them into that lead going into halftime. Yeah. Ray Allen had 3 big 3-pointers in that half, in the first half too. So it was a team effort.
Oh, did you hear in the new Ray Allen news?
No.
Sources close to Ray Allen say he's thinking about opting out of his contract and retiring as a Celtic.
Why? He will not be welcome there.
You know what? Yeah, I was looking over the responses for some of the Celtics fans. You know what? To be honest, I'm a little open to it. We really kind of need him now.
Yeah.
There's a hole in our offense this year, and that was Ray Allen. I mean,
well, the hole in your offense is that you really had no one.
Oh, yeah, and Rajon Rondo tore his ACL like week two.
There's that, but also, you guys lacked really a scorer, an outside presence consistently, someone who could make things happen. You know, Jeff Green has not become that player that people thought he would be.
I think he is. I
like Jeff Green.
I, you know, I'm not saying he's not a good player, but he's not that, you know, star player people thought
he
would
be. He's not a star, but he'll give you 20 points.
He'll give you 20 points, but when you really need someone to take over the offense, he's not that guy.
Yeah, that's why they need Rondo.
I think Ray Allen would be, I think it would be tough for like the first couple weeks, but I think Ray Allen would eventually gel back into the offense.
Well, Kevin Garnett,
KG.
Yeah, I don't think has he yet to talk to really Ray Allen since his departure?
Yeah, I know they really had a kind of a broken relationship.
I don't know if he'll be. I think he'll be fine eventually. Welcome back. But
I think the thing about Ray Allen is he can gel with any offense. It doesn't matter. You can always use a player like Ray Allen in any team.
Well, I'm thinking like Ray Allen. How old is he? He's old. I know that, but it's like
he's got to be over 35.
Yeah, but his job is literally just to sit at the post and just nail threes for the entire game. He's 37.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're not going to have that much wear and tear like a point guard who just goes through the middle.
Now, the problem, though, is for someone like Ray Allen going back to the Celtics, I think that's just more of, I don't want to say a PR stunt by that organization, but it's not helping him get better in any way. Ray Allen coming back.
What are you talking about?
He has no need to improve.
I mean, he's a deep threat. He knows.
Ray Allen at 38, I'm not saying it doesn't help the Celtics, but they have so many other issues that just bringing back Ray Allen doesn't just make this team a championship contender.
Yeah, but
I don't think that was their plan. Like,
that wasn't really the plan, yeah, exactly. But it was still like, okay, we're getting Rondo back, who's arguably the sixth best point guard in the entire league.
If I'm the Celtics, I'm looking at, yeah, we could bring Ray Allen back, but
it's only for a year, number one. I mean, if I was Ray Allen, I would play forever. I mean,
right, but here's
he doesn't have any wear and tear. He doesn't have any major injuries over the course of his career.
I don't think you understand, though, the wear and tear a jump shooter, his knees,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but they're not going to be as bad as, like, a point guard who's driven through the middle for 15 years in the NBA.
The one thing I will say, though, about a point guard is, you know, Ray Allen, he's jumping up, up, up all the time.
But I feel like the workouts he get really transcends for that, no matter what age he is.
Right, but if you think about, you know, just look at, for example, the Golden State Warriors in this playoff run. Young guys, no one over 23 years old, they got tired shooting jump shots over and over and over.
I don't think that was it. I don't think that's why they lost to the Spurs.
No, it was happening more, I was saying, towards the end of that gold Denver. You get tired just taking a bunch of long jump shots all game long. And I want to go back to Boston. If you're Boston, you need to look past this year. Great, we bring back Ray Allen, but what does that do for us? We need to think, how are we going to sustain the, you know, being a playoff threat? If I'm a Celtics fan, I'd rather see us not bring back Ray Allen and think, how are we going to improve for the future? Because Paul Pierce looked like just something happened and a complete drop-off.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett's not the same Kevin Garnett he's been. This team is old, and they lack, other than really Jeff Green and maybe Avery Bradley and Rondo.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Garnett, he's like 38 too, right?
Yeah. Right, there's an old team.
But it's like,
they're an old team, and they have yet to address their needs of improving.
What I think that's what's going to happen is that they recognize that they have KG, they have Paul Pierce. If they bring back Ray Allen, give them just a year, and they know, okay, now let's get rid of all of them, and now let's start rebuilding. And I think that's why they're going to get Ray Allen back, because they know they're going to have 1 year of, like,
I think if the Celtics get Ray Allen, I think they would be a threat for the Eastern Conference Finals.
Automatically.
Not at all. What are you talking about?
Please stop, because that's just that.
And that's what I'm saying.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Wait. Before you go, because I know what you're about to say, this is why the point you're about to make is why they need to forget about Ray Allen and think about the future now. But so go to your point about the Celtics and the Eastern Conference.
Oh my God. I mean, the Pacers, the Heat, the Knicks, you got to watch out for them.
The Bulls with Derrick Rose coming back.
Exactly. You think they have a chance at the Eastern Conference Finals?
I heard about D. Rose.
Even if you're talking about D. Rose, there's still so many other weapons in the East that can just come at you.
I mean,
Brooklyn.
You can't value experience enough, but you know they are old. It's fair to say. I'm just saying that they could.
I'm just saying that they have the ability
to do it
this year.
But I don't know if it's gonna happen.
This past year, when I was in Boston for spring break, I went to a Boston Celtics game. You know, just to see they were playing the Pistons. You know, a pretty subpar NBA team.
Yeah,
they struggled.
Well, they didn't have Rondo.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
But I mean,
he moves
still,
the offense.
But
he's the future of the franchise.
I'm just saying, but still, even with, like, it's the Pistons, though. I mean, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce was playing. It wasn't like they didn't have guys. They didn't have a point guard. But let's not like the Pistons just have, you know, Brandon Knight out there just getting 20 and 10 every night. I mean, it's just a game they shouldn't have struggled with.
Right, and I can't remember if Drummond was out at that time either.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't?
No.
Oh, sorry. Okay. But the point I want to make with that is, you know, the Celtics, look at San Antonio. They've had old players.
Yeah.
But what have they done? They have made moves to insert younger players develop while these veterans, future Hall of Famers, are still here.
Yeah.
So when they're gone, we have a solid foundation to build around.
But, I mean, let's think about the difference between the Celtics and the Spurs, though. Just the organization in general. I think the organization would definitely be more willing to have a publicity stunt or something like this to get Ray Allen back.
Exactly. And those kind of things show the difference between good and elite franchises. And
the Celtics is an elite franchise.
The Celtics have been an elite franchise.
I mean,
they have 17 championships. It's
but
fair
how many
to say
those,
that they're an elite
championship. You have to see, you throw out those big numbers back when there was just such a gap between teams.
What about the championships? When they beat the Lakers, though.
Yeah, no, I'll count
that
one.
It's an elite job. I mean, it's not like...
No. I know, but you say, oh, look at the Lakers and the Spurs. Well, that's back before you had all these teams, before you had all this talent.
So what point are you trying to make?
Okay, if the Celtics aren't an elite franchise, who is?
You're saying the Celtics aren't an elite franchise.
No. Who is? The Lakers.
Wait.
The Lakers? Okay.
How many championships have the Lakers won in the last two decades?
Five? No. Wait.
They've had
six.
At least six.
Oh, my goodness, people. He just said that.
I mean, the Celtics had 11 in 13 years.
But over what span, what decade was that?
It doesn't matter what decade it is.
It does.
It doesn't. If you're talking about a franchise,
in the modern era,
franchise.
You're talking about an entire period.
You can't have 17 championships and not be an elite franchise.
Yes, you can, because when there's back. Okay, in the modern era.
Exactly. Specify. Say modern era franchise. Don't just say franchise.
Fine. There are good franchise in the modern era. They're a good franchise.
While the
Lakers are an elite franchise. Because they've been able to win.
Are you basing it straight on championships?
Before you even start, who are the elite franchises?
Modern day.
In the NBA.
Right now.
As a franchise, decisions, coaching staff.
Yeah, that's a good point. Not just talent.
Lakers. You have San Antonio.
Fair.
They've drafted well.
Yes, San Antonio. San Antonio. Definitely. I have no arguments against San Antonio.
Like, I hate when people say, like, the NBA is rigged. It's like, well, why does New York sucked for, like, 20 years?
And they have all the money.
And San Antonio is, like, a dynasty.
Exactly. But keep going.
Get that from Colin Coward? Yeah.
But who are some other elite franchises, modern day?
Modern day.
Of course.
To be, there's not a lot of elite. Elite is the upper echelon of everything. So to me, there's only two elite franchises, and I've given you both of them. The Lakers and San Antonio, because they've won consistently. They've always been
Chicago?
On the top.
Chicago's awesome.
Chicago's an elite franchise.
Chicago. Okay, I'll give you those three.
My three right now. Actually, I have four. I agree with your three, but the Celtics are definitely part of that. You can't give the team that's won the most championships in the NBA and not say that they're an elite franchise.
And then
it's an elite job.
They were the first team to get the big three. Let's not forget that. They were the ones who got Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. I mean, so we can't discount that.
17 championships.
57, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 68, 69, 74, 76.
81, 84, 86, and
but since the 70s, they've had four. Just four.
So what?
I'm not going to count.
It's not based on championships.
That's not what a franchise is.
I'm not going to count a bunch of championships that happened,
You have to.
But I'm not going to consider that in elite, since that happened when how many teams were in the league in the 50s and 60s?
Like you said, just like the Spurs, they've been consistent winning-wise.
No, they haven't, though.
Ever since the end of that little Paul Pierce solo era, they've been consistent every season.
But to the point where I'm going to call them elite, no.
We're talking about
an association and a franchise.
Yeah.
As a whole, yes, you can say they're elite.
That's the whole argument. That's a franchise.
But in the here and now, because like I've said, I can't consider a bunch of stats throughout sports and a bunch of, statistics, the same thing. I'm not going to consider a bunch of championships and awards and statistics, that happened back when there was such a, you have your elite players and no one comes close to them. LeBron, Kobe, they're elite, but there are people who can compete with them.
Yeah.
There was not the same thing,
So are you saying the franchise, by recognizing the talent and bringing in Bill Russell, that wasn't like a smart franchise move on that part?
I'm not going to say make one move just makes them elite.
I mean, I think that he made that team elite.
Yeah, he did.
Who are the elite franchises in Major League Baseball? Think about that. you have to say the Yankees no matter what.
Yeah.
They have three times the payroll of any other team in a non-salary cap league, but they have to be an elite franchise because they've won 27 championships. That's not fair that they won those.
Podcast. Daniel Tosh says, let's put an asterisk next to Barry Bonds' home run records because he doped. Well, why don't we do the same for Babe Ruth because of the era where they didn't let blacks play? By that, I mean, there was such just this difference in talent, and there was not the same distribution of talent. Back then, you had like one or two, three great players, and everyone else, it was almost a drop off. And in today's game, it's so much more competitive.
Yeah.
And it's so much harder to win compared to back then.
Are you referring to NBA now or MLB?
NBA.
It's harder to win, for certain teams. When Miami goes on a 27 game win streak.
But look at them struggling in the playoffs. They've struggled.
They haven't struggled. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh struggled.
Yeah.
But they're a team. The team has struggled.
Okay, well, I just want to bring this back to the Celtics point then. You said that, they haven't,
I didn't say Miami's an elite franchise.
I know, I'm not talking about that, but I just want to go back to one point you made. You said that the Spurs continue to bring in younger talent to support their veterans.
And that's what elite franchises do.
So the Celtics bring in Jeff Green. Jason Terry might not be a young player, but he's still a great supporter. Fab Melo, Jared Sullinger.
You're going to tell me Fab Melo.
Avery Bradley, Terrence Williams aren't good supporting people for... So you think they're not equal to people like Danny Green and them some other players on the Spurs?
Elite franchises get the players that are going to help the franchise.
How are they not helping the
franchise? Fab Melo?
That's one player.
Fab Melo? Jason Terry didn't have some...
Jason Terry had a phenomenal year.
Yeah, as a role player, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Terrence Williams?
He did. He had as good a season as a role player could have had.
Exactly. Avery Bradley played great. I mean, these aren't like guys that just don't do anything for the team. These are young guys that step up.
Okay, you have Fab Melo, Avery Bradley, and who else? Jared Sullinger, if he can stay healthy.
Avery Bradley. Jared Sullinger.
Young players.
Chris Wilcox.
Who help.
Terrence Williams.
But what do they do?
What are they supposed to do?
Look at what the Spurs have done. They have gotten young talent through the draft. They've drafted well.
I think if Rondo was here the whole season, you wouldn't be saying this. Because Tony Parker's such a great point guard. He makes those players.
Yeah.
Rondo would see a completely different Terrence Williams and all these other players if he had to play like Rondo giving him the ball.
You remember first round they were talking about the Knicks-Celtics series and they're like, what's the key? What's going to stop the Celtics from winning these games? It's like, if they had Rondo on the court, might help a lot.
They would have won in six.
That's the argument, really.
Celtics would have won that series if Rondo was there.
We can go back and forth about this.
They're an elite franchise,
yes,
Marcus.
They're an elite franchise. You have to say that. You have to respect this.
They're a top five franchise, which makes them elite.
I respect what they've done in the past, in the distant past.
Okay, what do you not respect that the Celtics have done then? What is something that you like?
No, it's not that I don't respect them. But what I'm saying is you're putting them on this pedestal like they've just done it all.
We're not talking about an elite team. If it was an elite team, that would be talking about now. We're talking about them as a franchise and as a whole.
Exactly. The decisions they made, the people they've drafted. I mean, they're not like a Pistons team who's drafted, Darko Milicic and stuff. They've actually drafted
key players. if you actually were to read scouting reports, Darko was...
Yeah, scouting reports.
In some senses... Some people thought he'd be better than LeBron. Scouting and drafting is very difficult.
Somebody's getting fired from their scouting position.
So if you were in that draft and you knew the players you had, you knew you had Ben Wallace, you would take Darko Milicic instead of a scorer like LeBron or D. Wade or Carmelo. That's what you would take.
Well, when you just had...
If you have a player like Chauncey Billups who can give you, you would take Darko.
But when you already had players like Rip Hamilton...
What about him? a shooter, a Ray Allen type shooter. He's not a player who just demands the ball.
Right, but you're bringing a young guy, like a young guy. All right, but I'm trying to prove my point, and you're not going to agree with me. I can respect what they've done in the past, but as a franchise, since the 70s, they haven't really...
You mean we won three championships in the 80s, since the 70s.
Three in the 80s.
None in the 90s because we went through a period. I mean,
and then one in 2000.
I think they've done pretty good for what they've had. I mean,
we went to the finals, almost beat the Lakers, exactly. Went down to game seven plays, and then.
This isn't one of like the highest profit team. I mean, I think they've done pretty well.
It wouldn't matter what their profit is.
You're forgetting that a year ago, the Celtics were literally playing Miami. Winning 3-2, going to Boston, and then LeBron. That's just the moment that LeBron turned it on, and he hasn't been the same since. He scored 45 points in that game, giving the Heat the win, going back to Miami, and of course finishing off the series.
Now you're talking about a team.
You can't. That's what a franchise.
Yeah, but it's a franchise. You can't say that they're not an elite franchise when they go to the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago.
I think that drafting Paul Pierce, bringing in the big three, the first big three, I think those are pretty good decisions.
Actually, they're the second big three.
Three. The first.
It was like Bill. No, it was. Who's the coach of the Rockets?
Kevin McHale. Oh, yeah, it's Kevin McHale. Oh, why didn't you just say Celtics original big three? Celtics.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
It's Kevin McHale, Parrish.
We're not
going to
agree
Bird.
On this. We're not going to agree with this. So let's just move on.
All right.
But
can we stay on the topic of Boston for one second?
Can we stay on the topic of Boston, but talk about what they need to address this offseason?
Okay.
Because if they are this elite franchise, what are they going to do to make themselves to stay sustainable?
They can't really do anything until Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce leave. They can't.
Does that mean get rid of them?
Yes.
In my opinion, you have to get rid of them.
But you can only do it when they're ready. You can't force them to leave.
I don't think. See, that's the problem.
Let them retire.
That's the problem. That is the problem with sports. You become too loyal to team players sometimes.
Is that a problem? Winning isn't everything. Give them one year.
I mean, the Celtics passed on giving away McHale and Bird and trading them back then. And then we were bad for the entire 90s. So, I mean, it's a fair argument that we should probably give away Pierce and Garnett.
It's a fair argument, but you can't.
As a franchise, we need to learn that. And Danny Ainge was one of the people who were like, yeah, well, I mean, I asked to stay as a Celtic and retire as a Celtic. But it's like...
It's either you can retire... See, if you're the Celtics, you can...
That's the disadvantage to having a past player for that franchise as your general manager. And that's what the Celtics have in Danny Ainge.
See, but here's the thing you have to... you need to look at... This is a franchise, and I need to do what's the best for the team, not these three players who have, yes, they've done a lot, but this is a business, too.
It is a business.
And, yeah, I know there's loyalty and all that, but at a certain point, you need to say, guys, we need to move on.
Kevin Garnett will be the guy who just says, okay, you're right. I'll retire right now.
See, no, what I'm saying is you can either give them the opportunity to go on their terms, and I use air quotes, and say, you know, pretty much, here's a pre-written, you know, retirement speech. It's not, we're not forcing you, we are forcing you out, but we're letting you say, I'm leaving. Or we can let you go on our own. And then it looks bad on both sides. So, which would you want? And yes, Kevin Garnett might be upset, but as a GM, I need to keep my job.
Yeah.
I need to do what's best for this franchise.
You make a great point.
And this fan base.
And that's what's probably best for the team. But I think that if they keep Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and after they see, you know, wow, I'm not the same player I used to be, you know, this isn't the same game, probably the same things that Grant Hill and Jason Kidd realized, then it'll be so much easier.
Well, Hill went through so many injuries, that's absurd.
And here's
that
the difference.
That ankle literally
also
doesn't exist anymore.
Grant Hill, Jason Kidd bounced around to multiple teams, too. So it's
and
not like...
So they realize that I cannot keep doing this. It is time for me to retire.
So are you saying they should get rid of Kevin Garnett?
What, you mean right now? Or
yes, right now.
They're not even in talks about that. It's looking like it's going to be Paul Pierce, though.
Kevin Garnett.
No, but do you think the Celtics organization should get rid of Kevin Garnett and or Paul Pierce?
When?
Before the next season starts.
No, not Kevin Garnett.
I can only see Paul Pierce happening. I can see Kevin Garnett
getting rid of them, though? So, yes.
Getting rid of Paul Pierce, yes.
Okay. So, that's what I'm asking.
Kevin Garnett can mentally lead your team.
That's what I'm asking. Would you be willing to give up one or both of those players?
One.
Okay.
Just by the way, you guys are listening to WBFH Bloomfield Hills. Back to the discussion on what the Celtics need to do this offseason.
They need to get bigger. You know, they have a nice mid-round.
They have a pretty big team with Jeff Green, Fab Melo, Kevin Garnett.
Stop saying Fab Melo because he's a terrible player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's actually a terrible player.
But he's a presence inside.
Even I'm a Celtics fan. I'm like, no, Fab Melo doesn't have a future.
He's not. So stop with the Fab Melo comment. They have
I like the guy.
They have, like, I think the 15th pick in the draft. No, 15th.
That's like saying that you have Brian Scalabrine as an asset.
Brian Scalabrine is
the greatest to ever play the game.
Underrated player.
No, but the Celtics have a lot of options they can go with that team. excuse me, with I think the 15th pick this year. If I'm them, I have two players in mind. Steve Adams at 16, or if he's there, Kelly Olynyk.
No way. I don't see him being there. I don't see, with all the teams that need centers right now, I don't see. You know,
exactly. And
Kelly Olynyk does look like he'd be a Celtic, though.
He does. And this is what you give. You know, Kelly Olynyk and Steve Adams, two different types of players. One's your back to the basket. He's your center who really a lot of people need a center so bad. A lot of people believe Steve Adams is 3 years down the road going to be a star center in this league. So 1 year with Kevin Garnett, a year away from Kevin Garnett, and then boom, he's ready to take on that full starting role.
I can see that.
But with Kelly Olynyk, what he gives you is kind of that Dirk Nowitzki, who be able to learn a lot of what Kevin Garnett already has.
And there's great role models in that Boston franchise who are still around that can teach him.
No, what I'm saying is you either have one of two options. A back-to-the-basket kind of center who's a good rebounder, a good shot blocker.
Well, no matter what, he's
going
to have Rondo. So,
But you need to think of other parts because Rondo is your offense, and he's an anchor. But think defensive.
Rondo is a defensive defender.
Do you understand one's a presence down low?
Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm talking about Steve Adams gives you that center, Roy Hibbert style, but with a good mid-range game with athleticism. And Kelly Olynyk gives you a guy who can kind of do it all. He's not this elite defender, but offensively, he can do it all. He can hit threes. He can hit his mid-range game. He can put the ball on the ground and get it to the basket. And he can work in the post.
That's kind of what the Celtics have right now with Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett is not an elite defender, but he can score the ball.
And that's where Kelly Olynyk would learn a lot from Kevin Garnett. But, you know, Brock, being a Celtics fan, which of those two do you think the Celtics need more of? A guy who's a project but has a high, high upside as a center. He's already a big guy. He's got, he's 255.
I like the experience of Kevin Olynyk. We just had this big discussion about why a player needs to go through a year of the D League. I mean, he played 3 years at Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's coming in with an experience. And that's what I like. I'll take him over the freshman.
Let's not act like he's also 7 foot, 234. I mean, the guy's...
No, but he does actually have a 6'9 wingspan.
I mean, there's not really that much difference. They're both 7 foot tall centers.
But what I just said is Kelly Olynyk has short arms. He doesn't have a 7 foot wingspan or a larger. He actually has a shorter wingspan than his height is. But I don't see that being a huge problem. But when Kelly Olynyk came to Gonzaga, he's a 3-point shooter.
Exactly.
Over the years, he learned to just have a slew of tools to use in his offensive arsenal.
You know what I think? I mean, I think that the Celtics were so successful when they won that championship in 08 because, I mean, think about it. They didn't have, I mean, Kevin Garnett wasn't like the guy that, you know, was on defense, was like the defensive monster. Kevin Garnett was a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
They had
mm-hmm.
another scorer in Paul Pierce. If they have...
But they lack scores now. That's
exactly.
a problem.
And if they bring him in to score and then just bring in another guy, another center who may not be a scorer, not Steven Adams, but just literally just a big presence in the paint. I'm not talking about Fat Miller right now. I'm just talking about anybody who can play that big man role.
I think that this team needs to free up cap space.
That's what
Go after... go after either Al Jefferson or go after most likely a Josh Smith.
They need a Kendrick Persons type.
Bring a Josh Smith in, put him next to a Kelly Olynyk, and right there you have a good core front court.
That's an Eastern Conference team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I think that team gets past?
I think they have a chance.
I think they have a chance, but still at the same time, I feel like there are just so many other holes they have. Their depth isn't as good as a lot of other
teams. They just need to be competitive and be a playoff team every year for me to be happy.
I know, but see, that's where a lot of teams get stuck in that 8-7 seed. It's like, yes, we made the playoffs, but it's like, you know, we have the tools to make the playoffs, but we're afraid to break this band up to try to improve. You know, we have the game, we have the players to make the playoffs, but we don't have the players to win a championship. And
they won't have that for a long time.
And exactly.
But I'm just saying, next year, if they say, like, what we're going to do, like, they get rid of Paul Pierce, mm-hmm. they keep Kevin Garnett, they get Kelly Olynyk, and they get, like, a Josh Smith, that's not
Josh
an 8
Smith
seed.
Is phenomenal.
That's not an 8 seed. That's at least a 5 seed.
All right.
They can beat a team like Brooklyn, who just doesn't look like they even want to play out there. They can beat a team, I don't know, like the Bucks.
Now,
I
mean, future playoff teams, it, you know, it keeps coming out that Dwight Howard is more and more interested in going to the Rockets.
Oh, yes.
Literally just, like, ecstatic if
really
he leaves.
I don't know anybody who's mad about that. Like, I feel like everybody
knows. Oh, Adam.
Knows.
Like, Adam Kurtog.
Just makes
the only
it so
fan.
Competitive.
If he's a Laker fan, he should probably be happy for him leaving.
No, because
that's the future of the franchise at the end of the day.
I don't want him to be the future of that franchise.
Well, he doesn't want to be a future of the franchise.
I feel like
exactly.
he's so much more successful in the Rockets with the player like...
No,
Kevin McHale's coaching that team?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great fit for him.
But what do you think of, you know, Dwight Howard on that Rockets team?
It's phenomenal. What are you talking about? You can get paired with James Harden.
James Harden, feel like, will adjust his
what
game.
Do you, James Harden is underrated.
What do you think it'll do for the... You think it'll... Just talk about, like... Them as a franchise, if they were to insert Dwight Howard.
It just gives them more of a face, and it allows them to be very competitive in a increasingly weak Western Conference with the departure of Kobe. It's increasingly weak.
No, it's not.
Oh, come on.
The Spurs, the Warriors.
The Spurs aren't going to be around for another, like, maybe 2 years, 3 years.
I mean, the Warriors, Denver, you also have to watch out for, I mean, just the Thunder are coming back up. They're still a young team. I mean, let's not act like the Western Conference still isn't the Western Conference. They're still going to have, the Spurs are still going to have Greg Popovich, who's just a great coach. They're still going to have great defenders on that team. The thing about the Western Conference is they're kind of like the defensive side, and the Eastern Conference is kind of like the offensive side, and defense wins championships. So, I mean, that's what you have to think about when you think about the Western Conference. They're always going to be there to bang you up, to be kind of like the dirty team that's going to play with you for 48 minutes and tire you out. So, I mean, you can't sleep on the Western Conference ever.
Now, the Eastern Conference, you know, what I'm reading is there's going to be a lot of shakeup coming in the free agency. Like, I think I said last week how Monte Ellis would be staying while Brandon Jennings would be leaving.
Yeah.
And so when we come back from a break, I really want to dig deep into the free agency occurring this summer.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here on the Basketball Podcast with Marcus Boyd, Julian Reeves, and Brock Appleby. Here's Battle Scars, Lupe Fiasco.
The wound heals, but it never does. That's because you at war with love. You at war with love. Never let a wound ruin me, but I feel like ruins wooing me. Arrow holes that never close from Cupid on a shooting spree. Feeling stupid cause I know it ain't no you and me. But when you're trying to beat the odds up and trying to keep your nods up, and you know that you should know and let it go, but the fear of the unknown hone another lover's phone sends you back into the zone. With no Tom Hanks to bring you home, a lover not a fighter on the front line with a poem. trying to write yourself a rifle, maybe sharpen up a song to fight the tanks and drones of you being alone.
I wish I never touched. I wish that I could stop loving you so much. Cause I'm the only one that's trying to keep us together. Yeah. When all of the signs say that I should forget it. I wish you were the best I ever had. Yeah. I wish that the good outweighed the bad. Cause yeah. It'll never be over. Until you tell me it's over.
Until you tell me it's over. But you said it.
And I hope you never come back.
It shouldn't have happened, but you let it. Now you're down on the ground screaming medic. The only thing that comes is the post-traumatic stresses. Shields, body armors, and vests don't properly work. That's why you're in a locker full of hurt. The enemy within and all the fires from your friends. The best medicines to probably just let her win.
I wish I could feel, wish I could love. I wish that I could stop cause it hurts so much.
So much.
And I'm the only one that's trying to keep us together.
Yeah.
When all of the signs say that I should forget her.
Yeah.
I wish you were the best I ever had.
Hey.
I wish that the good outweighed the bad. Cause it'll never be over.
Can never be over.
Until you tell me.
Does that's because you at war with love,
and I'm at the point of breaking, and it's impossible to shake it.
Yeah. See, you hope the wound heals, but it never does. That's because you at war with love. Hope it heals, but it never does. That's because you at war with.
Don't look like that fade. Don't look like that ever gone away.
You are listening to the number 2 high school radio station in the entire nation. Stay tuned to 88.1 WBFH Bloomfield Hills. Hit music, hot topics, and sports talk are on the way.
I'm at a payphone trying to go home. All of my change I spent on you. Where have the times gone, baby? It's all wrong. Where are the plans we made for two? Yeah, I know it's hard to remember the people we used to be. It's even harder to picture that you're not here next to me. You say it's too late to make it, but is it too late to try? And in that time that you wasted, all of our bridges burned out. I've wasted my nights. You turned out the lights. Now I'm paralyzed, still stuck in that.
WBFH 88.1, the Biff, the basketball podcast on right now. We're going to talk some NBA free agency. What do we have this summer?
Well,
Marcus,
I was going to say the Bucks came out last week saying, you know, their sources reporting that they were not going to re-sign Brandon Jennings. They wanted to bring back Monte Ellis and J.J. Redick. Well, it's coming out that J.J. Redick doesn't want to come back, along with Monte Ellis has already told Milwaukee that he is bolting come free agency. So that leaves him in the position to now, do they bring back Brandon Jennings? And if not, you don't get anything in return for him. You trade away valuable pieces to acquire J.J. Redick. It's like, you know, you just see some franchises that just don't seem to
make
smart moves.
I think that the...
They're just really in this predicament now that they got themselves into by saying, yeah, you know, maybe Jennings, we're just going to let him walk, you know. But...
I think they really just...
They're kinda screwed, really.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, they had a good idea of Brandon Jennings and Monte Ellis. If they, you know, gelled more, that would be a great team. That would be one of the best backcourts ever. I mean, not ever, but, like, you know, in a long time.
In the league...
Yeah, they really, you know, speed it up. They're two of the fastest players in the NBA. That's really a team to fear if they gel together. But, I mean, Monte Ellis, he's a great player. I don't want him to stay there. I want him to go to a team that he could really prosper in. If he would have stayed with the Warriors, I mean, that just would have been a perfect fit. Klay Thompson
could have.
Yes, it would have. Klay Thompson could have went to the small forward. And then, I mean, David Lee could have went to the power forward and... That really could have been a great team.
I don't think that team would have done that well.
I think they definitely, would have. Harrison Barnes could have just been a role, like a six man.
I think, though, you're overlooking what Monte Ellis
brings to the table.
I think you're not thinking about what he does defensively.
He's a great. He's a defensive player that is like, I mean, let's not act like just Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson are just, you know, rondos on defense.
Yeah.
I'm not, but, you know, it's like, I'm not going to give this guy that much credit for the success. You know, look at his, you know, three-point percentage this season on a team that shoots a lot of threes.
I mean, he still scored 19.2 points a game. I mean, that's solid.
That's not bad for playing alongside somebody who also demands the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Two guys who demand the ball. People in Golden State want him back? No. They are fine with the team they have moving forward.
I mean, they're fine with
it.
Well,
they've got a phenomenal backcourt.
I think that they wouldn't be mad. I don't think they would have been mad about it.
They weren't good with Monte Ellis.
That's because Stephen Curry was going through injuries, and so was David Lee and Andres Bjelica. You can't blame that on Monte Ellis. Are you kidding me? Monte Ellis was a great player in the Warriors.
There are so many people who are glad that he's gone.
I don't know a lot of people. I think a lot of people are glad they're successful right now, and they don't say, wow, I'm sure glad we got rid of Monte. That's what made us successful now. No, it's
they're not saying that. They're just saying it was probably
Bogut played pretty well for them this season.
Yeah, they're probably just saying, like, yeah, maybe that was a smart move getting rid of him. I don't think they were saying, like, the sole reason why we're successful this year is because
the reason is different.
But you make it sound like with Monte Ellis, he would be just the thing that makes everything different.
I didn't say that. I just think he'd be a piece. He'd be a piece in the puzzle.
He'd be a good piece.
Yeah. He wouldn't be.
Come free agency.
He would not be, and obviously, like a Carmelo effect, like on like a Knicks team. He'd just be a good piece.
Anywhere but the Knicks.
Oh, the Knicks.
I think that
you're
they
Knicks.
Are fine the Knicks. With him not being there. I think.
Can we just talk about what the Knicks need to do for a little bit? Because
talk about New York sports and how bad it is.
Let's just get rid of JR and then let's just start.
He said he's opting out, I thought.
I'm so glad.
Kid owns his baggage.
I mean, he's clutch sometimes. He's a highlight player.
He was sixth man of the year this year.
He was. But when the playoffs come, I just feel he's too inconsistent. And he's not only shown New York. He showed it in Denver, too. I think that the Denver teams that have come out, I mean, Chauncey Billups, Carmelo Anthony, J.R. Smith, Nene, Kevin Martin. I mean, let's not act like that was just like, you know, a walk-on. Just like a walk-over team. That was a great team. But I do think that J.R. Smith has not proven himself to be a Jamal Crawford consistent player.
I don't know. I mean, Monte, I feel like he'd be a great piece somewhere else other than Milwaukee. But moving forward, that franchise is to figure out what they're going to do with him.
Oh, yeah. That's just going to be rebuilding another Pistons, Cavaliers type team.
Wait, did they say that they were going to trade? Or, is Brandon Jennings a free agent?
Yeah, I think he is.
Restricted.
What if they all leave?
He would be restricted.
What if they all leave?
Which is not that like
two of them are leaving.
Yeah.
And who really wants to play in Milwaukee?
No, you don't. That's not like a good place to like even live.
So you might need to start.
That's the advantage. That's why I think it's pathetic that New York hasn't won a title in 40 years.
And all like the great basketball players that are actually like from New York in general.
Yeah, exactly. It's really pathetic, actually.
But it's like for me. It's like
the fact that any new. Okay, so what Boston did in 2011 is all four of our major sports teams.
Wait, but I think you're overlooking one thing about New York, and I think you aren't going to believe this could be a huge factor.
What?
The media in New York is a full fledged circus at times. They're in your
that's
face.
So,
all,
that's
they
very
are so
fair.
Critical of every.
I think that's any big city. LA,
not the same.
It's not. It's not the same. It's not the same.
So you're saying in LA they don't have the same press coverage as in New York.
They do, but the same one. There's not the same history of winning. So if like
in
LA, New York,
LA,
New York.
Those are the
in
two
LA,
glamour franchises
of winning. If you're gonna
New York is a phenomenal basketball town. They go.
Yeah.
They go to the Knicks games, no matter what.
I know. Yeah, I know. Exactly. But I'm saying, if you're a player. you know, who has more titles? L.A.?
Of course, L.A.
So that's what I'm saying. If you're trying to decide between those two places, maybe you want to live somewhere that's warm. That's another factor. But I think the biggest factor is the media. The media is not as large in L.A. as it is in New York.
Because there's other options. That's what it is.
I don't really think that's the biggest factor. It certainly is a factor. When I think about
if I want to be
a player, if I thought about where am I going to put my place in and to be successful, and I want to go play with
the city of Los Angeles is run by celebrities. So, I mean, like, the celebrity news coverage kind of outweighs the sports coverage, especially because the Lakers are probably the only really elite sports team.
LA's not a sports. It's a sports town,
what? But not all of it. They don't have a football franchise.
They don't have a football franchise. That's in Oakland. People aren't going to go out to Oakland.
But
another aspect. Baseball still isn't big, and they've had the Angels be good. The Dodgers aren't great right now, but.
The Dodgers have a multi-million dollar payroll.
Exactly. But
there are so many
things. We're not going
to
go on baseball train.
There are so many
teams to watch.
But it's different.
The Lakers, they're exciting teams to watch.
The Clippers are now. They're fair weather fans all throughout L.A. The Kings for hockey. For Clippers recently.
I despise it. Like, the Lakers fan base is probably, I don't know who I hate more. Probably the Yankees over the Lakers, but like.
You have the Lakers, and about that, over the last 10 years, you have the Lakers. Other than that, there's nothing in that town.
If the Lakers aren't good over the next 10 years, I don't think they sell as many tickets. They're fair weather fans down there, and I think that it's very clear.
I think that's any town. I think
it's not any town.
When you go to Boston. When New York was going through that Nate Robinson, Jamal Crawford stage, they were not packed every night.
Yeah, they were. New York always gets this is a cowherd. But New York always gets praised for being this phenomenal baseball town with the Yankees and the Mets. But you look at Yankee Stadium, without the stars, the place is half full.
No, but if you
they're not playing. The Yankees are only like 3 games back on the Red Sox right now, but all their stars are hurt. Nobody's watching the games because they come out to go see A-Rod. They come out to go see Jeter, and those guys aren't playing. You go to Madison Square Garden, you know what you're going to get, that atmosphere. That's why they're so good at MSG.
But wait, he talks about there's fair weather fans everywhere. Yes, that's true. But how many people went to Kings games before they were in the playoffs last year, in the Stanley Cup Finals last year?
Yeah. Los Angeles is, I'm telling you, it's way different.
You see all these stars who, other than Jack Nicholson, who don't come out until, it's game 7, you know, or this is the game that determines if they're making the playoffs or not.
I don't think that makes them fair weather fans.
I'm telling you, if you go to a Lakers game.
I think that makes them human.
If you go to a Lakers game, I'd say half the crowd doesn't know 5 players on the roster. They'll be like, Kobe, Fisher's still on the roster? Fisher? He's pretty good. What about Bill Walton's son?
I think that just makes him human.
Wait, he's playing for the Cavs now.
So Brock, let's talk about you and your Celtics. Let's just say you're a celebrity. You're not one of those celebrities that just
we're talking about everyday people though.
Everyday people. Oh, that's even better. Those tickets are expensive. I don't care how diehard a fan you are. If they're playing a team like, you know, the Bucks in the regular season,
but explain,
or game 7 in the playoffs.
Explain to me though. Explain to me when you had the Kings. Explain the Kings to me then.
The Sacramento Kings?
No, the Los Angeles Kings.
The LA Kings, they go into the Stanley Cup, and I think like the first couple games were like probably like half full. Not half, but like 3/4 maybe. And then they just start winning as an 8th seed.
I just think it's because
and they go
this.
Knock out Vancouver, and they play for the Stanley Cup, bring it home to Los Angeles.
I just think it's because it's the sport of hockey in general. I just think it's a different sport.
And weren't the Lakers out by then anyway?
You have to just have you. I mean, I think there are less hockey fans.
Also,
where
have all these Clippers fans been?
That is different. That is different. That is
fair weather fans.
That is actually fair weather fans. You're right about that.
I mean, even like when the Patriots were terrible for all those years, people still piled into Foxborough Stadium.
Green Bay.
Well, Green Bay is in a league of their own. It's one town team. It's like
also
soccer in England.
The Lions.
Yeah, the Lions are definitely.
No.
the Lions sell out even when they're bad.
No, they do not. No, they do not. They do. That is a lie.
That is not.
What about all the games that weren't even televised?
They don't sell out but they are still pretty packed games for the Lions games, even when they were bad.
How can you even read that, Julian? All right. You know, I think that will about do it for us here on the Basketball Podcast. This is episode 4, I believe. Here with Marcus Boyd. That is the podcast. We'll see you guys next time.